Witness of ancient wisdom comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain to be alone with them. And before their eyes, Jesus was transfigured, his face becoming as dazzling as the sun and his clothes as radiant as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said, "Rabbi, how good that we are here. With your permission, I will erect 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter was still speaking when suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Out of the cloud came a voice which said, "This is my own, my beloved, on whom my favor rests. Listen to him." When they heard this, the disciples fell forward on the ground, overcome with fear. Jesus came toward them and touched them, saying, "Get up, don't be afraid." When they looked up, they did not see anyone but Jesus. As they were coming down the mountainside, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone about this until the chosen one has risen from the dead." The wisdom of modern wisdom comes from "The Path Worn Smooth" by Stephen Charleston, from his work, "The Spirit Wheel, Meditations from an Indigenous Elder." If you are walking along a difficult path, you may find it worn smooth by the number of others who have had to pass this way before. Sorrow and struggle are not new to our human family. The number of people who have carried heavy loads along the same road are too many to count. You can see the evidence of their passing. You can also feel their presence. For in the heavy burden, they made their imprint upon the earth. You can feel them watching over you, encouraging you to take the next step. The silent witnesses to our pain walk beside us, the ancestors of our journey. Lead us to the high ground of hope. Keep going. God is still peace speaking, and we are still listening. Thanks be to God.
It's always fun when we get a Bible passage that starts with "blank days later." I mean, it's a reminder that all of the passages we focus on each week, they're part of a bigger picture, a larger context that does affect what happens next. For today's reading, what happened 6 days earlier is kind of important to better understand this moment of transfiguration, and especially understand Peter's reactions. See, 6 days earlier, Peter boldly proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus proclaimed that Peter would be the rock of the future church. Then he shocks the disciples by telling them that this path leads not to a throne, but to suffering and death. And then finally, Peter protests this, and Jesus rebukes him. So in other words, this moment comes after a very confusing and emotionally exhausting week for the disciples, and especially Peter. So now, Jesus has led Peter, James, and John up a mountain where everything changes. Jesus is transfigured before them. The Greek word here is metamorphothi, which should make you think of the word metamorphosis. It's a complete transformation. The glory that had been hidden in ordinary human flesh now shines openly. His face shines like the sun. His clothes become dazzlingly bright. And then suddenly, Moses and Elijah are there speaking with him. The past, present, and the future are meeting on that mountain. Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and together they represent the roots and the legacy of Israel's faith. And now they stand with Jesus, revealing how everything that came before points to him. Peter, overwhelmed, bursts out, "This is amazing! Quick, let's build shelters for everyone." Now, I have heard many a sermon on how this represents Peter wanting to box in God. But honestly, Peter kind of makes sense here. After all, Moses and Elijah are known for spending 40 days and 40 nights in sacred places a lot. So when they show up, it's usually not going to be some quick visit. Also, to be fair to Peter, when holy moments happen, our instinct is often to stay there, to preserve it, to build something so that feeling doesn't fade. "Let's stay here," Peter says, in effect. "Let's hold on to this." But before he can finish speaking, a cloud overshadows them, and God's voice says, "This is my own, my beloved. Listen to him." And just as suddenly, their joy turns to fear. The disciples fall down, overwhelmed. And that reaction is, I think, understandable too. How quickly we can move from amazement to fear when God truly comes close. When faith stops being an idea and becomes real and immediate. So it is a gift when Jesus touches them and says words that he repeats throughout Matthew's gospel and many of the gospels, "Do not be afraid." In the Gospel of Matthew, he says these words when he sends the disciples out into their mission. He says it when they see him walking on water. He says it here on the mountain. And the next time in this gospel he will say these words is after the cross, after death, after resurrection. "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid of the mission. Do not be afraid of miracles. Do not be afraid of God. Do not be afraid of death. Do not be afraid. I am here. Fear loses its power when Christ is present. And then, as they walk down the mountain, Jesus suddenly reverting to how he had been before, Jesus tells them not to tell anyone what they had seen yet. Jesus knows that they don't yet understand the whole story. The resurrection hasn't happened yet. But we do know the whole story. We know fear and death do not get the final word. So this instruction, while it was good for them then, it's not for us now. We are called to tell the story, to share hope, and speak of light breaking through fear. And the one way we loosen fear's grip is by naming it. Bringing fear into the light takes away some of its power. There are many people facing many fears in the world today. There are many people facing many fears just here in Hillsboro. And evil likes it that way. When we hold our fears inside, we let them take us hostage. But we have the power to say no. Recently, I was a part of a local vigil. Pastor Adam and several other Hillsboro pastors, we gathered at Hillsboro United Methodist. And as a part of that gathering, we invited everyone to name their fears. And this naming was heavy and emotional in the moment. But as we spoke them, as the fears were verbally said It was freeing, and in the end, hope-giving. It was a gathering that was a spirit-filled mixture of tears and smiles. Fear often convinces us that we walk alone, that our struggles are unique, that no one has faced what we have faced. But as Stephen Charleston writes in the poem we just heard, if you are walking a long and difficult path, you may find it worn smooth by the number of others who have had to pass this way before. Peter was walking a difficult path. In 1 week, he named Jesus as Messiah, learned he would be building the church, heard that Jesus must die, tried to stop it, got yelled at, and now he witnesses Jesus shining in divine glory. Confusion, hope, fear, wonder, all mixed together. The poem continues, "The silent witnesses to our pain walk beside us. The ancestors of our journey lead us to the high ground of hope. Keep going." We never walk alone. Others have walked before us, others walk beside us, others will follow after us. And through it all, Christ is there too, saying, "Do not be afraid." Now, this mountain moment doesn't last. They must return back down where life is waiting. But we know that healing conflict, confusion, and eventually the cross still lie in front of them. But they don't go back down unchanged. That light has shined. That light has changed everything. And in a similar way, as we walk forward together, we don't walk in darkness. The song we're going to sing in a moment, "Thy Word," is one that I grew up singing, but I think it's really appropriate for this because, as it says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The path may be long, may be hard, but it's worn smooth by those who have walked it before, and it's lit by the radiant presence of Christ beside us, around us, within us. And never have I been more glad to have such a variety of ecumenical friends to walk with. I might be a Lutheran pastor. You might be members of this community, Calvary. You might be a first-time visitor who just walked through these doors and is probably a little confused. I won't be here next week. Pastor Adam's awesome, so do come back. But no matter what brought you here, we are all connected in the way of Christ. We can all walk towards justice together. So in the days ahead, when fear rises, and it will, hear the voice of Jesus say, "Do not be afraid. Keep walking. Keep friendships and new ties alive. And remember that in all the places that we go and all that we do, the light goes with us as well." Amen. As I spoilery said, let us sing "Thy Word." I invite you to rise in body or spirit for this song.